We thank you, Lord, that from heaven you look down and you see all mankind. From your dwelling place, you watch all who live in the earth. You who formed the hearts of all and considers everything they do. Lord, we thank you that our hope is in you, Lord. Our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in things. Our hope is not in institutions, Lord. But our hope is in you, Lord. So, Father, we just continue to bless you and to praise you and to worship you and to honor you. We ask you to touch those who are feeling hopeless this morning, O God. Those who are paralyzed by fear. We thank you that your word declares that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bind every spirit of fear that is tormenting your people, every spirit of hopelessness. I bind and I break your powers now in the name of Jesus. And I command you to loose them now in Jesus' name. Lord, bless them with power, love, and a sound mind. Lord, we just ask you to continue to pour out your spirit upon us, O God. We ask you, Lord, to anoint me afresh, O God. Anoint me to preach the gospel to the poor. Send me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I cast down every imagination and every high thing that would seek to exalt itself against the knowledge of today's word and the life and healing and deliverance that it will bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord another clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, today, last week, we looked at God's power combo of prayer and giving alms. God's power combo of prayer and giving alms. And this, today, we want to look at God's power combo of prayer and praise. Amen. Of prayer and praise. Some people say, you know, I love to pray, but I don't love to praise. But praise is very important. Very important in our relationship with God and in our desiring to see God work in the earth. Praise is very important. And so, today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 16 to 19, in the first instance. The story of Paul and Silas and their encounter with a slave girl and her subsequent deliverance and their subsequent imprisonment and how they responded to that. Praise God. So, it says in verse 16, now it happened, I love that, it happened as we went to prayer. Amen? We need to have a mindset that when we are on our way to pray, that something can happen. Amen? We don't have to wait until we are in prayer for something to happen. Amen? The moment we make up our minds to pray, anything can happen. God can move in our midst. God can move on our behalf. Amen? So, it says, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed a spirit of divination, Metas, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Amen. Now, this is a very, very important message today. Because do you know that there are persons in the church who believe that, you know, someone who has a familiar spirit is of God? We need to understand that a familiar spirit is not from God. A spirit of divination is not from God. It is only the Holy Spirit that is from God. Amen? So, it says here, she possessed a spirit of divination, and she met us, and she brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. It says, this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. I want us to note here, he didn't turn, he did not get annoyed, and he did not turn to her and rebuke her on the first occasion. Amen? He waited on the timing of the Lord. That's very important. So, he turned and said to the Spirit, not to the woman. Not to the woman. Spirits are beings. They are beings, and they can hear, and they can think, and they can respond. So she turned, he turned to the Spirit, and he said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Did the Spirit respond? The scripture says, and he came out that very hour. Praise God. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Men are the servants. They said, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Amen? Praise God. So, I want us to note the following. As they went to prayer, there was a supernatural encounter. Prayer sometimes positions us to engage demonic activity. You see, one of the problems that is happening in the church, one of the things that is lacking in the body of Christ, is that we often go to prayer, but we have no expectation. We don't expect God to move. We don't expect to have a supernatural encounter. We just expect to go to prayer and to just say some things, and then we get up and we go home, and that's it. Bored and stiff. But prayer is not to be like that. It was not meant by God to be like that. Amen? Hallelujah. The second thing I want us to note is that a slave girl possessed by a spirit of divination, which gave her the ability to foretell, gave her the ability to foretell, telling people about the future. Now, we need to understand that it is not everybody who foretells is of God. We need to understand that the devil has power also, but his power is limited. His power is weaker than the power of God. But we need to understand that it's not everyone who foretells the future, it's not everyone who reads you up is of God. We need to understand that many Christians are being deceived. Amen. There are even pastors at time who will go to persons like these to get a read up. but they are not of God. If it's a spirit of divination, it is not of God. If it is the Holy Spirit, it is of God. And that's a very important distinction. Amen? Praise God. It said, we should note that a spirit of divination is different from the Holy Spirit. It is not of God. The Word of God warns us that divination should not be practiced by believers. And we see that in Leviticus 19 and verse 26. It says, you shall not eat anything with the blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. Soothsaying is, you know, foretelling the future. Amen? So, Christians must not participate in that. Amen. You know, I went somewhere the other day to get the drum, part of the drum set repaired. And I met a young man. And I was so refreshed. And, you know, delighted to have a conversation with him. He was a Christian. And one of the things that he said to me is that, you know, in with respect to beating of drums, there are times when you hear people beating drums in church, but the beat that they have is a beat that supports divination. And that's, you know, it's so important. I was so blessed to know that there was this young man and that he had made that distinction, that he had discerned that it's not every beat that is a godly beat. There are beats that are supporting divination. And we need to be careful not to import those spirits into the church. Because if we are not careful, they can easily pass. They can easily be excused and accepted as a part of Christian worship. Praise God. The third thing I want us to note is that a spirit of divination can identify anointed men of God. The Spirit said to the girl, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Can you imagine? Satan knows who is anointed by God and who is not anointed by God. Praise God. I remember once, you know, my wife and I, we were praying for a woman who was suffering from severe depression in a garden area. And there was a demon-possessed man. And you know, as I was praying, the man shouted out. He said, pointing towards me, he said, I know of you and your works. In other words, he identified that I was a child of God, that I was an anointed child of God. So, you know, we need to understand that the devil knows who is of God and who is not of God. He knows who is serious for God and who is not serious for God. The fourth thing I want us to mention is that after Paul rebuked the spirit of divination and commanded it to come out of the girl, immediately she lost her ability to foretell. Amen? So that ability that she had was because of the spirit of divination that lived inside of her. She became unprofitable because what? He used to make money off her. A client would come and say, I want to know the future. And the client would pay a money and they would send the client into the girl, and the girl would give them a read up. And then they would leave. Do you know that the spirit of divination operates through the horoscope, stargazing, zodiac, tea leaf reading, palm reading, etc.? These are practices which engage a spirit of divination. Now, what has happened is that mankind has prettied up some of it and make it seem more acceptable and to be almost of God. But these things are not of God. They are not of God. After the spirit of divination left the slave girl, her owners were very angry. Can you imagine? They were not thinking about her welfare. And you know, that slave masters, they were not thinking about her welfare, but they were thinking about how much more money they could make off her. Her owners were very angry. They were not happy that she was delivered from a devil of divination in the name of Jesus Christ. They were only concerned about the fact that she no longer had the gift of telling people about the future. The spirit by which she predicted the future was a demonic python spirit. The python was a mythical snake worshipped at Delphi and associated with the Delphic oracle. The term python came to be used of the person through whom the python spirit supposedly spoke. Since such person spoke involuntarily, the term ventriloquist was used to describe them. To what extent she actually predicted the future is not known or stated. So sometimes they might predict and sometimes they might tell lies. But that was the case. The owners stirred up the magistrates and the multitudes who flogged them, both giving them many stripes. And I want you to note here, they didn't get one stripe each. They got many stripes each. They then jailed them in the inner prison. I mean, just for preaching the gospel. Not the outer prison, but the inner prison. And fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, what were stocks? A former instrument of punishment consisting of a framework with holes for securing the ankles and sometimes the wrists. It was used to restrict and expose an offender to public derision. It was used to restrict and expose an offender to public derision. Naturally, these guys were physically in a very bad shape. They had many stripes. Jesus had told his disciples that men would hate them and say and do all manner of evil against them. Do you understand this as a Christian? Spiritually and psychologically, these men, Paul and Silas, they were kingdom focused. Amen? In Acts 16, verses 25 to 31, the scripture tells us, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed." Amen? They had many stripes. They were locked in the inner prison. They were in stocks. And yet, at midnight, the Bible says, they prayed and sang praises unto God. I wonder how many of us here, if we were in that situation, if we were in that physical condition, if we would have prayed and sang praises unto God. And you know what is beautiful about it? It says, and the prisoners heard them. They were singing that Shabbat praise that our sister spoke about at the beginning of the service. They were in Shabbat mode. They were not singing quietly. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They lifted up their voices and they were praying and praising God. And all the prisoners heard as they praised God. Amen. But praise God. And then it says, and suddenly, amen, they had a heart of expectation. Amen. They believed that God was there with them in prison, that God was there with them in their affliction, and that God would move on their behalf. So it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Hallelujah. You see what prayer and praise can do? You see what prayer and praise can do? Brethren, we need to praise God. Amen. In all things, the Bible says, in all things give thanks. It didn't say for everything give thanks. It says in all things give thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Amen. So prayer and praise can bring you a breakthrough. Amen. Prayer and praise can break you out of bondage and set you free. Amen. So we must always be in a mode to pray and praise. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Instead of being fearful and feeling sorry for themselves, they began to pray and sing songs of praise to God. I wish to note the following. Despite being beaten and having many stripes, they were praying and singing praises to God so loudly that all the prisoners could hear. Praise God. Their prayer and praise released the supernatural hand of God. We need to understand that. That prayer and praise releases the supernatural hand of God. You know, I've been to churches where, you know, at the before the service starts, they have praise. And then after praise, the service begins. And I say to myself, what is this? Isn't praise a part of the service? But in some churches, it's not treated as that. It's a kind of warm-up session. But praise is very important. Very, very important. The supernatural events which were released during prayer and praise caused the jailer and his household to be saved. Praise God. I remember, you know, a number of years ago, oh boy, about 18 years ago, we were occupying the downstairs of this building. And one Tuesday night, we usually have prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. And, you know, some of the persons who went on that prayer walk, they are still here. Praise God. People like my wife, Pastor Miss Sister Sonia. You know, but we were praising God. Amen. And while we were praising God, gunshots were firing in the square down the road. And you know, as we were praising God, I remember I had my hands up and I was praising God, and I heard a voice say, "Stop the service. Lock up the church, take the people on the sidewalk, and march down to where the shots are being fired." And I said to myself, "That must be the devil. Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You think I am going to go out there and walk down where there are shots firing, and then next morning you hear about this lunatic pastor who took his congregation on the road?" And so I just pushed away that voice and I continued to worship God. And then I heard the voice again a second time. It said, "Stop the service, lock up the church, line up the people on the sidewalk and go down to the square. March down to the square." And I did the same thing. I rebuked it. I said, "That could not be of God." Amen. And I lifted up my hands again and I started to praise God again. Some of you must be saying, "Thank God I wasn't here then." But praise God. you know, I lifted up my hand and I began to praise God again. And then I heard the voice a third time. And I said, okay. So I stopped the service and I said, I know this sounds very, very ridiculous, but this is what I heard. And do you know that about two ladies, one of them was Wizzy, held up her hand and said, Pastor, I heard the same thing. And I said, praise God. We're stopping the service. Lock up the church. And let us stand on the sidewalk in front of the church. And so we did that. Amen. And I wanted to know that in that group was my wife and my two children. My two children. I had made a promise to God. I'd said, God, wherever I ask the people in the church to go, I would also take my wife and my children. I made that promise to God. And so we went on the sidewalk and we lined up that cross there. I had it in my hand and my hand was shaking because I was nervous. And I said, let us sing in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That song. And let me tell you, when we stood out there, there was no car, no pedestrian, no animal on the road. And you could smell the gunpowder from the cartridges that were fired in the atmosphere. And so we went down, we marched right down to the square where you have that hardware now. You have a gas station was there. And we went over to the gas station, not knowing that the two groups that were fighting together, one came from one side of the gas station and the other one came from the other side of the gas station. And God had us go and we knelt down and we prayed. We prayed for about 40 minutes. And then the Holy Spirit said, okay, get up and return to the church. And so we praised God down. When we reached the gas station, we prayed. And then we praised God on the way back up. And when I reached up, I said, shh, thank God. I returned safely. And everybody returned safely. Praise God. But do you know what happened? From that time, those communities have never fought against each other again. Amen. God used the prayer combo, the power combo of prayer and praise, and he broke the powers of wickedness that was influencing those fights in the community. Amen. Praise God. So there is power in prayer and praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. After Paul had his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to a prophet called Ananias, spoke to him, and sent him to restore Paul's sight. This is part of what the Lord said to Ananias in Acts 9, 15 and 1. And I want you to listen carefully. He said, Paul is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Amen? So that was a prophetic word upon Paul's life when he was converted. And then we see several years down the road now, he was beaten, given many stripes, and he was locked up in prison. So he continued to experience a life of suffering for the sake of Christ. What about you? Are you prepared to suffer for Christ's sake? Are you willing to forsake all for the gospel's sake? If that is what God requires of you. I'm not saying everybody must suffer in the same way or everybody must have the same experience. But are you willing to suffer for Christ's sake if that is what God requires of you? Western Christianity has to some extent fabricated a counterfeit church culture which focuses on what you can achieve personally as a Christian. And I want you to understand this, brethren. Amen? In many ways, we have lost it. We have lost it. There has been a culture that has focused on what we can achieve as a Christian, what possessions we can amass, what positions we can attain in life, when Christ has really called us to serve Him. I just want to look at two additional scriptures that addresses the attributes of praise. In Psalm 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Watch this. Through the praise of children and infants. Amen. That day when we marched down to the square, children were among us. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Amen. So we need to understand that when we praise God, God inhabits our praise and He establishes a stronghold against the enemy. And that enemy is God's enemy and it is our enemy. Praise is awesome. When we praise God, it releases God's hand to establish a stronghold against God's enemies, who are our enemies. The stronghold silences the enemy and the devourer. Amen? So when you praise God, it silences the enemy and the devourer. Praise God. And you know, even if you just have to say, praise God. Just praise God. You don't have to get out the hymnal and sing a hymn. You just say, praise God in a situation. And God will set up a stronghold against the enemy. Praise God. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember once I was driving and I stopped. You know, I was not very sensitive to the driver behind me. And I stopped quickly. And the man nearly hit my back bumper. And the man was very angry. And he came up beside me. And he started to release a lot of expletives at me. He was very angry. And I looked at him and I said, praise God. He was driving off. He stopped the car. He reversed and said, what is that? I said, praise God. And he drove off. No more expletives. Amen. Praise silences the enemy and the devourer. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 67, verses 5 to 7. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. You know what this was? This was a prayer to God, to ask God to stir up people's hearts to praise Him. Amen? Isn't God awesome? If I was God and somebody come to me and say, could you stir up my heart to praise you? I would think they are out of order. But God is not like that. Amen? God knows that none of us can praise Him unless He helps us to praise Him. And you need to understand that when you don't feel like praising God, you can ask God to help you to praise Him. And He will help you. Amen. Because He says in John, in the book John 15, He says, for without me, you can do nothing. What is nothing? That means nothing is left out. Amen. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you can't read the Bible. Without Jesus, you can't pray. Without Jesus, you can't praise God. Without Jesus, you can't love your enemy. Without Jesus, you can't forgive others. There is nothing you can do without Jesus. Amen? Praise God. So, it says, let all peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Wow. You know what that is saying? It is saying that as we praise God, the earth releases a harvest. The earth releases a harvest. And part of that harvest is for those who are praising God, and part of it is for others. And for God to deal with other situations. Amen? So praise is very important. Praise is very important. I always say, you know, to members of the praise and worship group, that you are positioned for a blessing. You are positioned for a harvest. Because the more you sing for God, I think the greater the harvest. The more you sing for God, the greater the blessing on your life and the greater the blessing that you place on others. It's a privilege. It's an honor to be a part of the praise and worship group. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us as we praise him. Amen. God shall bless us. And watch this. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Praise God. I remember another Tuesday night, we were, you know, downstairs again, and we were praising God. Amen. And somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody got a vision of workers in China in a rice field harvesting. And what God was saying was that as we praise God in Grandspan, that our praise traveled to China, and that it was affecting those workers in the rice field. You believe that? That's what the Bible says. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. In other words, when you praise God, your praise travels even to the end of the earth, and it causes men, women, boys, and girls to fear God as you praise God. That's what the word says. Amen? Praise God. And all you have to do is believe the word. Believe the word. I'm not trying to stretch my imagination. I'm just believing what is written there in the word of God. Amen? As it is written, so I believe. Hallelujah. And God gave us a vision to back that up. Praise God. Amen? There are times that there are certain things God has for us. Listen to me. There are certain things God has for us which are released from heaven when we praise him. In other words, there are certain things that God has for us that prayer alone cannot release. Think about that. That's what Psalm 67 is saying. That there is a harvest that God has for us when we praise him. Amen? And let me tell you something, brethren. It's important that you learn to praise God in your private devotion. Amen? You don't have to wait till you come to church to praise God. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him in the evening. David said, I will praise him 7 times a day. But you're not limited to that. Learn to praise God. Amen? And let me tell you, if you don't feel like singing a song, you can just lift up your hand and say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. That's praising God. Amen? Praise God. If you're like me, most of the time I don't feel like praising God. But why do I praise God? Because he's worthy to be praised. I'm not going to wait until I feel like praising God. If that is the case, I would hardly praise God. Amen? But I have to make an effort because I know that he's worthy to be praised. And when I praise him, God moves. The supernatural is released when I praise God. Hallelujah. So, there are times when we have to ask God to stir people's hearts to praise Him. Amen. Praise God. Your children not praising God? Pray to God. Say, God, stir their hearts that they might praise You. Somebody you know not praising God? Ask God to stir their hearts so that they will praise God. God will do it. Amen. He has done it before and He will do it again. Hallelujah. As we praise God, God will bless us. Amen. God will bless us. Men will fear God. And God, in Psalm 67, look it up afterwards. It says, God will govern the nations and judge the people righteously. Verse 4. Amen. As you praise God. That's why praise and worship is so important in this church. Amen. It's given equal prominence to the preaching of the word. It's very important. Because praise releases the supernatural power of God as God's people praise Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, in summary, prayer sometimes positions us to engage demonic powers. Amen. That is why sometimes in praise and worship, you have people receiving deliverance. The spirit of divination, which is used in the occult world to foretell, is forbidden by the Bible. Amen. So don't be fooled by somebody who have a Bible and they call the name of God and they even call the name of Jesus. Because remember, the Bible says that some preach, Paul said, some preach another Jesus. In this case, some preach a Jesus that embraces divination, and that is not the true Jesus. Divination is not of God. Amen. Obia is divination. Witchcraft is divination. Revivalism is divination. Amen. And do you know that, you know, some people say, when you talk about witchcraft, some people think you're just talking about African witchcraft. Do you know that there is England witchcraft? You have Indian witchcraft. You have Chinese witchcraft. Amen. You have French witchcraft. But you know what they all have in common? They are all witchcraft. Amen. So whether it is white witchcraft, black witchcraft, yellow witchcraft, whatever form of witchcraft, they are all of the devil. And we need to understand that. And there is only one spirit that God allows us to worship, and that is the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Prayer and praise releases the supernatural hand of God. As we praise God, God establishes a stronghold against His enemy, who is also our enemy. Amen. Very important. Praise allows God to silence the enemy and the devourer. Praise God. Amen. And finally, to be a follower of Christ. Hear me. To be a follower of Christ, we must be willing to endure hardships for Him. Amen. I heard someone testify of a young man who he got a scholarship to study medicine in the United Kingdom. And God spoke to him and said, walk away from it and come and be a missionary. And he went to Africa as a missionary. Left the opportunity to study medicine in order to serve God as a missionary. I forget his name. He turned out to be a very famous missionary, and he did great works for God. Amen. Brethren, it's not what we become, but it's who we serve. Amen? That's so important. Who we serve while we are in this life. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for prayer and praise. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to pray. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to praise you, Lord. Lord, may you continue to stir up our hearts to pray and to praise you. May you continue to empower us to pray and to praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, cause us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Continue to give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, so that our hearts might be filled with you. Holy Spirit, may you continue to fill our hearts with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you continue to fill our hearts with love for our neighbor and for ourselves. Lord, we bless you and we praise you and we honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God bless you.